Would you take your Bible and join me in the New Testament Gospel of Matthew and find chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10. And when you have found it, please stand in honor of God's Word. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." May God bless our reading of His Word. You may be seated. Haven't the events of this past year and those happening right now made you stop and wonder, can this country be saved? Or aren't there people in your world as you look at their lives, you have to wonder, are these people beyond help? Or might there be someone in your immediate sphere of influence that you wish, you hope, you want with all your being to see come to a relationship with Jesus Christ? If any of those thoughts have crossed your mind, you are in the right place today. Whether you're here in this room or if you're online, this is the place you need to be. Because from our text, I'm going to show you, and I pray the Holy Spirit impresses upon you, He has the answer for your questions. Now, our passage is written by one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And this apostle was among these whom Jesus sent out. It wasn't Matthew's objective when he wrote this gospel to give us a chronological account of the life and ministry of Jesus. Rather, it appears that Matthew did what the other gospel writers did, and that is, took a more thematic approach, telling us the events, but in an order and a structure to convey an overall message. That theme runs throughout the Gospel of Matthew. There can be no question when you read the Gospel that this is the theme. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Matthew's purpose in writing this Gospel, to get out clearly what it is Jesus sent them out as a group to do. They were to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this book does just that. Before we dive into the text, it's important to understand the context, and especially how Matthew presents this story. So if you would back up a little bit to the previous chapter. And what has been going on is up to this point in Matthew's narration of the story, Jesus has been ministering and preaching alone. There have been others with him, among those his disciples. But the one doing the work has been Jesus. He has been the one healing the sick. He has been the one giving sight to the blind. He has been the one proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in the end of chapter 9, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Like I see this country. Like I see people every day in this world. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." It's likely that the disciples were unaware, as Jesus had said, to pray for harvesters, that they were going to be the answer to their prayers. Now let me apply this message at the beginning. It won't take me long to preach the message. So let me make clear where I'm going. If you see this condition that exists all around us, and your heart is broken over it, and you wonder what in the world can be done to change the potential and the direction of this country, you look at people that you encounter and you wonder, are they beyond help? Are they so lost, so far away, they can't be reached? If there is someone in your world, in your sphere of influence, that you long to see come to a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith, hear me. In all of these cases, you are the answer to your prayers. Three simple words I want you to walk away from this text remembering. Here they are. Go. Share. Care. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew can be summarized as the disciples on mission. Here is the moment that Jesus sets them to doing what the church is going to be doing until Jesus returns. He sent them out doing what we have been put here to continue. Now listen. A part of discipleship is without question sitting down, learning, hearing, observing. But an equal and an equally important part of discipleship is doing it. On-the-job training. Doing it. Discipleship merely kept in a classroom is not Christian discipleship. I didn't get any amens on that. I'm still not sure I did from the heart. Because you have been in this church before, you know where I'm going. And it's agonizing. It's painful. It's frightening. And we'd much rather sit in the classroom than get in the harvest. But that is not what disciples are made for. They are made partially in the classroom, partially out of the classroom, but all together they are made to take the gospel to the world. And so Jesus tells his disciples these three things. If you are the answer to your prayers, as I believe you are, his word to you is go. Look, right there at the very beginning of verse 5, when Jesus begins to speak, these 12 Jesus sent out instructing them. What's the first word? What is the first word in red in your Bible there? What's the word? Go. When people focus in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, on the fact that it does not actually say, go, therefore, they overlook the fact that the whole of the text is telling them to be going. Furthermore, he's already told them to go right here. Go. This is the mission. This is something you are to do, and you can't do it here. You have to go somewhere to do what I want you to do. These people had witnessed miracles that Jesus had performed. They had heard the message that he had preached. I don't know how many sermons he had. When I was first called to preach, I didn't have any sermons. But no sooner than the Sunday I made the announcement, this is my call to preach, I told the church that this was my call to preach, a man walked up to me and said, will you preach for us next Sunday at the rescue mission? Wait a minute. I don't have a sermon. And after a week of working on it, I still didn't have one. But when I got off to college, I had preached once. Therefore, I was experienced. So lo and behold, because I'm a preacher boy, I start getting invited to preach in churches. Now mind you, I had one sermon. I can't go back to a church. I just have to move from church to church. I mean, nobody had to tell me to go. I only had one sermon. I had to go to another church, to another church, to another place. This commission that Jesus gives them, it's not to do something they don't know anything about. They've been trained. Perhaps they didn't realize they were being trained. But it seems to me that's when the best training takes place. The Lord had been discipling these men, preparing them to engage in ministry themselves by showing them individually and collectively through the time he spent ministering in their presence. Many people call this chapter, the mini commission. Because it is applied only to these 12. Again, these were the only disciples. These 12. Look at the instructions he gives them in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans." Now, Jesus was very specific in what he expected these disciples to do as they engaged those around them. At this moment, they are not to carry this message to predominantly Gentile areas. They aren't to go into Samaria. Rather, they are to go with the gospel to the nation of Israel. Now, how in the world could that possibly apply to us? I would say it indirectly applies to us in this regard. Jesus gave them instructions. Now, that's not a pattern he gives to everyone. In fact, the Great Commission exceeds this instruction. It's to go to the world, which includes Gentiles and up in the country of Samaria. Are you with me? So what practical application is there to my life from this instruction? This. Your life is on mission. You hear me? You say, "But I wasn't called into ministry." Oh, yes, you were. When Jesus called you to follow Him, He called you precisely the way He called these disciples. You are a disciple of Christ, and if so, you are in ministry. But how and where? Only He can tell you that. Only He can give you that guidance. Only He can show you what He wants you to do. Only He knows exactly how He has made you and equipped you and designed you. Only He knows what purpose He has for your life. He is under no obligation to have printed that out for you and given you a user manual for it. He wants you depending upon Him for clear instruction and direction in your personal mission. Never forget, we are followers, not of a movement, but of a man. We are followers, not of some great teaching, but of a great teacher. This direct connection that the follower has with the leader is never abrogated. We are always completely reliant upon the leadership of Jesus Christ in how we are to carry out our mission personally, individually, and even as a church. He tells them where to go. Where's their destination? Rather, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, God calls us uniquely. Not all of us heard the call of God in the same way. God also equips us uniquely. We don't share all the same talent or the same giftedness. How grateful I am for people with such giftedness as this choir. How at times I wish that giftedness belonged to me, but it doesn't. But I'm thankful for their giftedness and that they make use of that giftedness in these wonderful ways. Aren't you? But not all of us are gifted that way. But every one of us is commissioned to do the same thing. And that is to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And some, gifted in particular ways, will do it in those ways. Others, gifted in other ways, will do it in those ways. But the objective for every one of us is in our relationship with God to be so intimately knowledgeable of Him that we understand how He made us and how He is directing us. Tell. Look at verse 7. Proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This gospel of the kingdom, this message that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, was a message specifically targeted to Israel. They were so preconceived in how they imagined their Messiah would come, what His kingdom would be. They were so already formed that they risked looking right past the kingdom of heaven when it was in front of them. And the message of Jesus is, it's here now. It's right here now. This is the kingdom of heaven. And it was. It was Jesus. And what was the kingdom of heaven? It was a message. We call it the gospel. In fact, our text calls it the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The good news. This is the message that we are to proclaim. And the word there is so clear. It is to proclaim it. A couple of things that are noteworthy about it. It was to be a priority. It was what they were supposed to be doing. Go there and do this. Go wherever you go, as you are going, while you are going, just go. Can't do it here. Go. And when you are going, do this. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Now, is that how we do? No. That's not how we do at all. Number one, most of us don't even consider going. We consider ourselves already having arrived. Wherever we are, this is where God wants me to be. And if anybody wants the message of the gospel, they should come to me. Or we cloud that idea with this superfluous spiritualism. I will let my life witness the gospel to others. Now let me tell you something. I understand the gist of that palaver, but that's all it is. No one looks at someone else's life and says, aha, but if I would just repent of my sin, turn by faith that I don't understand to a Jesus that I have never heard of, I'll be saved. Nobody does that. It's very quiet in this building. I told you, this is an uncomfortable thing. But the fact is, this is our business. And it's not just our priority, ladies and gentlemen. It is an absolute urgency. Jesus says, proclaim as you are going, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. Literally, it's right now. This is it. You've been waiting centuries for this. The lull of time, the lack of eventfulness has caused you to be asleep and blinded from the reality that's going on around you. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing could describe our world better than this. We are so accustomed to chaos, we are so accustomed to evil, that we think there's nothing different in the world, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand today. And the world doesn't see it. The world doesn't even think it. And the reason that they don't is because we are not saying it. I hope you sense the urgency that Jesus had when he made this statement. I hope you sense the urgency that we should have today. Because Jesus is coming again. Those who are saved by His grace will inherit eternal life in His presence. But those who never hear the gospel, or those who hear the gospel and reject the gospel, there's no hope. There's no plan B. This is it. The last word, look at verse 8. It's a lot of words, but it's really only one word. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Care. Care. Jesus had gifted these disciples with unique and supernatural abilities. Abilities that I do not believe exist today. These men had power to heal the sick. They had power to cleanse the lepers. They had power even to raise the dead. They had the ability to heal others in Jesus' name. We don't. We lack the ability to bring about physical healing. But we have something. We have the gospel that heals the heart, the soul. It transforms a life. I'm going to tell you, go back to what I created in the beginning. Go back to the question of the world's condition. And you wonder, can this world, is this world beyond saving? Yes. It is beyond every human, man-made, intellectual plan we've ever conceived. We can't change this world. It will never be made better by our plans. But it can be saved by the plan of salvation, by the work of Jesus in the individual hearts of people. Care. You care about somebody and you wonder, are they beyond saving? Well, get over there and care about them. Get over there and touch their life in some way and show them that you are more about something other than yourself. Let them see that there is something better than this world. There is a kingdom of heaven in this world. I know there is. And every true believer knows there is, because that kingdom dwells in us. Touch someone's life. I want to close with this idea. He says, you receive without paying, give without pay. Jesus expected these disciples to serve everyone they encountered the same way, in humility and compassion, recognizing however they looked, every one they would encounter had exactly the same need. And the need was for salvation. They needed to be liberated from their sin. They needed to be delivered from the condemnation they were at that moment under. They needed hope, because there was no other way out. They needed the gospel. I want to remind you of this. You are the answer to your prayers. No one else. You. 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 You have what it takes. You've been saved. Therefore, I know you know the gospel. You've had enough intellectual training. You've been saved. But I don't know the answer to every question. That's not what you're called to do. You're not called to answer every question. If you think you have to have so many answers before you can go out and share your faith, you will never share your faith. There are more questions that can be asked that are nothing but decoys to pull you off your objective. Hear me. You are the answer to your prayers, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, standing between you and answering those prayers but disobedience. Nothing else. Pure disobedience. This past week, Miss Brenda, if you don't know Miss Brenda, she sat at the front, often in a walker, greeting people. She'd come into the worship service and did her version of American Sign Language. Miss Brenda loved the Lord and loved people. She had a destination to meet Jesus, and she did this past Wednesday. But even in her meeting Jesus, she wasn't done. Brother Cody was in the hospital with her when she passed, waiting in the room, holding her hand, serving the Lord. Also in that room was a caregiver, a nurse. It was that nurse's first day on the job. Because Brother Cody was faithful, because Brother Cody was obedient, and frankly, because Brother Cody couldn't do anything else, he couldn't raise the dead. He couldn't cure the psychological pain that occurs at the point of death. He did what a disciple can do. In any situation, in every circumstance, he gave the gospel to that nurse, and that nurse received Jesus Christ. So even in her going to see Jesus, Miss Brenda was taking people with her. Pray to God that can be said of us. Let's pray.